Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Max 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and I'm very excited to have a full studio today. We have, for a return visit, Russ Yelton, Executive Director with Perimeter 83 at the University of Advancing Technology. Welcome back, Russ.
Thank you. Great to be here.
It really is. And what lots of changes for you since we talked. I think we decided it was about a year ago.
It was, yeah.
Russ joined us on Jody Lowe's Leadership Lowdown series. And today we are going to really get caught up with UAT and their new space, Perimeter 83. Also joining us is Dr. Dave Bowman, Provost with the University of Advancing Technology. Welcome.
Hi, thank you very much.
Happy to have you. We were joking earlier before we went on air that I've been in the East Valley forever. I mean, literally since I was 13 years old. And it wasn't until Russ came and said, hey, let's talk about University of Advancing Technology. I'm like, huh? What?
Right. No kidding.
It's been this best kept secret for us locals, but internationally, you're known.
Quite well. I mean, most of our students come from out of state. And, you know, so it's we've been in the Tempe area for 35 years. And so many people don't realize that here embedded in Tempe is this college that grew up organically, and it's got, you know, dorms and food service and a quad facility. And young adults playing tech stuff. And it's amazing. It's actually one of the things we love about Tempe is that from the beginning, they've been very vested in us and supporting having this, like, you know, other kind of university show up in their town. Most folks don't know us because we don't put as much resources into billboards as we do focusing in on all the technology we provide the students,
and
which is vast.
Yeah, vast. Russ took me on a tour again before the holiday, and talk about state-of-the-art facility.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Now,
when we built it, the property originally was an old orange grove. And when we purchased it, it was before Fry's Electronics was built or anything like that. And we had the opportunity in the 90s to think about, if you were going to create a campus that helped, you know, individuals think like someone who was going to build with technology, what would the shape be? And we spent years working with architects and sort of the best thinkers about how you think and build and create to kind of build that space. And so, you know, when it opened up in the late 90s, we were able to kind of infuse that in, just kind of create this really amazing, you know, what kind of the technology version of what Frank Lloyd Wright does with Taliesin. You know, where it's this, no, you go in there and you're surrounded by technology,
it's
you're building
comparison.
On it. It's really fun.
Yeah. I got this image of, as you're chatting, when I took the tour, it's almost like this epic center, almost like I would imagine the space station mm-hmm. to be, or something like that, where there's different levels, aren't there two or three?
A couple levels. And all the technology is very exposed. And one of the things that we do is, we don't have the different laboratory spaces be dedicated to programs. They're all very exposed. And when students come in, we overtly say, no, look, we want you to use all of them. In fact, when students arrive at UAT, they move in, they get in the dorm, they settle in, they go make their trip to IKEA. And then the very next day, we randomly put them into teams. We pay no attention to their degrees. And we have them go into the theater. And I say, all right, this is really a build experience. And so you're in this team. I have no idea what their skills are. And we haven't taught you anything yet. You have 10 days to come back to this theater with a completed technology that works. And they all go, but wait, we haven't finished your teaching. What about this team? I don't have these skills. And I say, that's right. When you're building with technology, you never have the people you want. You never have the time you want or the resources, but you got to get it done anyway.
Wow.
And so all that technology is exposed. So they spend all night, you know, eating ramen at 2 a.m, you know, and then working in the VR labs and the robotics labs and whatever else to kind of get it done. And then it just goes from there.
Right. What a great launch pad for them.
Yeah.
This is how it will be for the next however many years you're with us.
Exactly.
So let's get you thrown into the ring right away.
Yeah. It's
fantastic.
Very fun.
Good. Well, I want to make sure that we have an opportunity to introduce our other guests, and we'll go even deeper into the conversation around Perimeter 83 and UAT. Joining us as well is Carolyn Vassos. Yes,
hi.
I got it right. Hey?
You did get it right.
Good.
Thank you.
Director of Business Development with Perimeter 83. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
And you have been with Perimeter 83 for how long then?
Since last fall, actually.
Because it's a whole new concept.
It is. And we're just building it from making it, you know, unique to whatever's going on here in Arizona. And it's going to be, with the university attached to it, something that's quite special.
So either Russ or Carolyn, either one of you, I would love to have you introduce to our listeners, what is Perimeter 83?
Sure. So Perimeter 83, the idea is the entire campus, everything at the school is available to entrepreneurs. So whether it is 3D printing, film, we're doing customized training, cyber, it's all there available. It's very unique. Nothing else like this really exists in the state.
It's a fantastic space.
Yeah, the idea grew out of a project we've been working on for several years. We're trying to figure out Arizona's job growth for technology outpaces what the universities can put out. You know, it's just the arc is tremendous right now. And so we started to think about how can we accelerate tech startups locally rather than trying to bring them in, and how can we have more people skilled up rapidly? And what we started to notice a few years back was that on Friday afternoons, where most colleges are dead and quiet, we're looking out in the commons, we got like a sea of people down there. And our computing commons is this open space you referred to where there's just hundreds of computers. And I started to ask the professors, who are all these folks? And I said, well, it's actually a lot of them are small startups who, since you have an open campus, they're just coming here because they know there's students and there's tech and there's food, and it's just a good place to work. And so we started mulling on the idea of like, what if we formalize that to create, you know, like this convening space and say, no, come and formally start your business up here and launch from the space where you have technologies for all the advancing sectors that are on the landscape right now. You've got infrastructure, resources, people, and just interest in it. And what's really cool about it as a college is on my side, when I'm working with students or undergrads, and they start thinking about, well, what would it be if I want to start a business? Well, we can say, well, right here, take a look. Perimeter 83 is going on, and you can see what it takes to launch a business. And if you are really, really good, and then we will talk to you about helping you launch it, and you've got this modeling, role modeling thing. And ultimately what we're aiming at is having an impact on the Arizona tech, you know, launch startup space. So we've got more trained professionals, more startups in tech successfully getting through all those hurdles to being something. So we're not constantly trying to find ways to recruit other companies to come to Arizona.
And I also think that the fact that the intellectual property is owned by the people who create it and not by the university is a big plus. The perimeter itself, my favorite piece is when you go down to the cafe or the common areas, there is a cross section of people with ideas. I sit down at lunch, I tell Russ this every day, I learn something new. It's either a student telling me something or a professor explaining. So you get this extra added bonus of just being in the environment.
So often as entrepreneurs, especially in startup mode, we feel like we're in a silo. Right. If we're working from our home office or this little, you know, executive suite that we took up upon ourselves. So this idea of a co-work space and this opportunity to be embedded in this deep technology environment has got to be not only mind-blowing for folks because of the level of support, but also the camaraderie and the collaboration that you're seeing.
Yeah. And the kids themselves are so unique. If you meet them, they come from all walks of life. They're very excited to tell you about what they're doing. They text me their projects that they're doing. They come up in the space and ask what's going on. So I love that piece of it, that they're reaching out to the community and the community is now reaching out to us.
Love it. And Russ, how long has Perimeter 83 been actually opened, you know, to the public, let's say?
Going on 7 months now.
It has been 7 months. And what are you hearing people say? Any of you can share. What's the feedback that you're getting that just gives you goosebumps and says, yes, we nailed this?
I think it's anytime we go on a tour and we bring somebody through that hasn't been on campus before, they just shake their head and go, oh my God, I didn't know this was here. And now I have access to it. So as we've been building our mentors group, you know, people are donating a pro bono time, or the new companies we're bringing in, there's just this feel of a rush right now that we're getting on all cylinders and things are really starting to take off.
And there's still some space and room for other folks to join you.
Always space and room for people to join who want to innovate.
And that's a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, and that's it. And, you know, because the university just does technology and it represents, you know, everything from AI to VR to space tech to software development to mobile, it's all in this collaborative space. And so if you think about creating new ideas, it really is, those ideas come from that contact point between two different technologies that didn't have an application before. And that's what I hear about people when they look at it and they go, great, I can work on an idea here, if feedback from the people wanting my product takes me a different direction, I've got contact of people who know how to build in that or work with that. Or if I want to run up and make a prototype of it, I can and see if it actually works.
Right. You don't have to know everything. You just right. have to know the people who know everything.
Right. Exactly.
And who knows what new technology, right? That's, I think, a big part of this as well. Who knows what's going to be developed out of these relationships and the camaraderie that's there when folks come together and bring their knowledge and their success as well as their dreams together. Phenomenal. So I would like to introduce our listeners to another guest that we have in the studio with us today, and it's a perfect segue to introduce you to Stephanie Hockridge, co-owner and director of communications and strategic partnerships with Juice. Hello.
Hi. Thank you for having me. So happy to be here.
Well, we're thrilled to have you, and you are, I think, a perfect person to join this conversation because you've been taking advantage of this Perimeter 83 workspace and are a tenant there.
Yes, we were the first company to join Perimeter 83.
I didn't realize that. Yeah. The very first.
Very
okay.
first. Yes, we're first movers.
I love it. So tell us, let's tell us about Juice, because I know this is a very important week for you as well as you guys are launching at the Phoenix Open. So tell us who you are and who's Juice and what's happening.
Yes, so we believe that mobile people essentially need mobile power. We know that 90% of people experience low battery anxiety. And there's actually a medical term for this.
No.
It's called nomophobia. There are legit medical studies that are happening on that topic. So it's a serious problem. And then also you have an issue with people needing to charge their phones, the average person up to 3 times a day. And then even when we started looking in emerging markets, we noticed that people were walking up to 4 hours a day just to charge their cell phone. And in some cases, more people have cell phones than drinking water, clean drinking water. It's really amazing. And so all of a sudden you start to realize, wow, when I leave my home or I leave the office, there's nowhere for me to charge my cell phone if my battery dies. And our cell phones are basically our lifeline to the rest of the world. When our cell phones die, we basically cease to exist in the world, right?
Yes.
Yep.
I was trying to get in touch with you, Stephanie. I thought you were dead. Well, my phone was, you know, so it's kind of, you know, we joke about it, we laugh about it, but it's essentially the same thing. But, you know, going back, there wasn't that convenient and affordable access to power. And so we wanted to provide that. So essentially, we are extending the grid by rolling out portable battery powered phone chargers at scale throughout cities. And our business model is really similar to the scooter companies around town. You see,
oh, that's a great
Bird
example.
And okay. So you download our Juice app to find a charger to pick up nearby. First 10 minutes are free. Otherwise, it's $1 a day to charge your phone. And then you just give that charger to another user, or you return it to one of our vendor locations. And
what?
Then we sweep through daily to recharge, restock, and then replenish our inventory.
Oh, my gosh.
I love it because when you're on their app, I mean, it has listings of restaurants that are right around you. I mean, there's no excuse for not finding one.
Yeah, we're going to be, I mean, you name it, bars, restaurants, salons, stadiums, airports, anywhere, schools. I mean, if you think of anywhere where your phone battery dies, you're going to want to have that be in close proximity to find one of these chargers, because when your phone dies, it's an emergency. You need to, we relate it to actually getting gas in your car, right? You
yes.
can drive around town and you don't care that there's a gas station on every corner, but the second that you're out, you're like, where's the gas station, right? Yes. And so we realize that consumers don't want to carry these chargers around. So we want to allow that people to pick them up wherever they are, wherever they, you know, are having that emergency, and then drop it off as soon as they're finished with it, or share it actually with, you know, someone nearby, because really we all need to charge our phones, right?
Yeah. And like with those little scooters, which is a great example, you're able to just hand it to somebody else and then they can go ahead and swipe and,
right.
and take care of it as well.
Yes. And everything is on platform through our app. So you basically just scan the QR code on the back of the charger. And then now the new person has a possession, so to speak, of that charger. And then you just return it back into the ecosystem. And if you love it and you want to keep it, you can. It's $20 and, you know, your account is charged. And then as soon as you put it back into the ecosystem, we could even credit you back if that's something you're interested in. So we make it easy. We just want to make affordable power easy and convenient and accessible for the people.
So where did this idea come from? I'm fascinated.
Yeah. So, you know, have you ever traveled and not had a, did you not bring your cell phone cable with you?
Sure. I actually was at the dealership the other day without my cable and I used the juice pen.
Oh, you did? Aww. And how was that?
I couldn't believe it. I go, oh, thank you, Lincoln.
Yeah, Lincoln's the president of our company. Yeah. We're always handing out chargers. In fact, you mentioned the Waste Management Phoenix Open where we're, you know, launching this version of the company where we will be offering free phone charging to everyone who's there. So the only thing you have to do is download our Juice app, and we encourage anyone to do that.
You will be the heroes of the Open, I have no doubt.
And as soon as you show us that you have the app on your phone, then we'll give you a cell phone charger. You can keep it with you all week. You can, if you're going back multiple days, you can swap it out. We'll give you a fresh one. As long as you return it by the end of the tournament, then you'll be good to go, and we're not going to charge you. Otherwise, it's $20 if you decide to keep it. And what we found in the past when we've rolled this out is that a lot of people want to keep it. They like it. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. I'll have to fill you in after
yes,
the tournament's
come
open.
Come back and tell us about this launch. And currently, are you only in Arizona?
Yes, currently. So we have been working on figuring out what is the best business model for the consumer, right? So what does the consumer want? So we've gone through a couple of iterations of the product to figure out, okay, this, a slimmer battery, a more lightweight battery, one that people can take home with them and recharge on their own, but also something that they don't want to carry it. So it's like, what does that business model look like? We think we finally have figured it out. We're very confident. We're rolling out at the Open. And what's really great about big events is the fact that it's basically like a large city, okay? A bunch of people in one spot with no access to power. So we get to test out all of these theories about what this looks like in the greater community. There are bars at big events. There are restaurants at these big events. We're going to have kiosks set up throughout the course around the 16th, 17th, and 18th hole. We have other, you know, phone charging opportunities, tabletop chargers that are going to be in the VIP areas. And then all of the free charging that we're offering through our portable chargers will be sponsored by Palo Verde, the nuclear power plant in town. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So that's how we're able to, you know, make this cost effective for us and also, present something, an opportunity and a solution for people to be able to charge their phones.
What's the size of the chargers?
Not very large. I mean, if you're...
It's about the size of a cell phone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. There you go. Trying to think, shoot, I don't know, 5x7?
Okay. Yeah. Cell phone.
About the size of your cell phone, and it just connects right to it. It has a short cable, so you don't have this big, long cable hanging mm-hmm. out, and you can hold it in one hand and even take photos as you're holding it. So you can stick it in your pocket. We're actually in the process of developing a new and redesigning the product to make it even more compatible based on what we've learned from what consumers are interested in wanting.
And you've also donated some, I believe.
We did, to the Red Cross. We've worked with them for the past two hurricane seasons to help with disaster relief, which is really, mm-hmm. you know, bringing it back to UAT and what we want to do at UAT is work with students on our disaster relief part of our business. We want to build kind of a philanthropic arm to the company that really focuses on disaster relief. So you take a look at like Hurricane Sandy, for example, in New York. 8 million people in New York City were without power for 4 days, okay?
I remember that. I told you, I remember that image of 9/11 and the brownstones in New York City and people putting out extension cords, and they were all like blocked up with everybody's cell phones. That's the solution here in Juice.
Yes. And so what we found is that when the power goes out, cell phone towers, they have generators and backup batteries. And so when the power goes out, they're still able to exist and operate and, you know, provide the service that they provide. But our cell phones don't. There's no contingency plan. So these Juice chargers will provide that contingency plan and allow communications to stay up, because otherwise, after 6 hours, I mean, all communications will cease to exist because your cell phone will be dead. And that's only if you have a charged cell phone at the beginning of when the power goes out, right? That's kind of how we see this side of the company working, and how that relates to UAT is an ability to work with these students who have these specialized skills and tapping into their creative problem solving. Because these are kids who are going to look towards technology to solve problems like this. So presenting problems like, okay, so someone's stuck on top of the roof of their house and they are trying to tell first responders where to get to them and their phone dies. Can they go into the Juice app, you know, before it dies and say, I need a charger, and then we can send a drone to the top of the house?
Right.
That's something that these students will be able to help with. You know, that's off the top of our head, but I imagine they can come up with so many more creative solutions that we haven't even thought of.
They'll know the needs. They'll know the application. And if they don't have the application, they'll figure it out.
Well, that's one of the things that's kind of wonderful about UAT as a student is that beyond, you know, the usual graduation stuff, like you pass your classes and you do an internship, our students have to, before they graduate, identify some need that solves some good or some innovation and build a working version of it and stand up on stage and say, hey, look, I built this thing to solve a problem and here's what the value is. And so we spend, and this is kind of a call to anybody in the community, we spend a fair amount of our time reaching out to people in the community who have something that needs to be built. And so in this case, it could be refine the technology that Juice has for emergency relief. We've done projects, like we're doing one right now with Junior Achievement, where, you know, they've got, with about a mile and a half from here, they have their, you know, their Junior Achievement town. Mm-hmm. And the great thing about that is it's a great place for students to go and experience and learn how finance works. But you can't move it around. And so if you're in the outlying areas of Arizona, you can't experience, you know, what Junior Achievement offers. So they came to us about a year ago, and we're in the process right now of having students for their innovation project build a mobile version of that experience that they can then take out to areas that can't get to Tempe, Arizona. And so every one of our students has to do one of these things. And we probably run through, you know, a good number of purely philanthropic projects every single year. And those are some of the most fun things that we do, is just trying to think that up.
I mean, that, how cool is that?
Yeah.
I mean, I went to college, and to have, we always had to make up these projects. And then here's a real one you can put on your resume. You've gone through the experience. That's invaluable.
Well, that goes back to the Perm Ready 3 thing. That's, you know, from a student perspective, you know, imagine having that be part of your college experience, is that, you know, while you're taking classes, you're surrounded by businesses who are innovating with technology and to feed you ideas, and you can tap into it. And that's just always kind of in there in your head as you build things out. It's a really, like, it's a very cool thing that Printer does with UAT.
So what's nice about that too is we're starting to get corporations that are in the Valley. Insight is actually joining us. And they're really, when I said, why do you want to be there? I mean, you don't need a co-working space. You've got a big facility. Like, no, we want to plant the flag. We want to be in there. We want to be part of the relationships with the students. We want to get to know who's up and coming.
I mean, Think about it. The cost of a developer these days versus being able to access these students who would be hired to be a developer that we would be paying in the future. I mean, that to us as a startup, when you're looking at, you know, the amount of capital that you have to work with. I mean, you mentioned it with your students at the very beginning. Hey, when you're starting this stuff up, you don't have a lot of resources. You don't have the people, the money, those kinds of things. And so to be able to have access to some of that talent, that is invaluable to us. It's priceless.
Well, and then, you know, from our student perspective, you know, when our students leave, they've done probably at minimum once a semester, they've done a build, but more likely than not, they've done two or three complete builds, and they've experienced all the hard stuff. They've experienced when you have a team meeting that works versus not work, or when you fall short of your goals, or you build something and discover that you're, you know, the person who's buying it doesn't actually like what you built. They've gone through all those experiences so many times that by the time they graduate, they've done it 10, 20 times. And so, you know, if you're a startup or a tech company trying to get a graduate, they're just so much further along, and they're so more ready to hop in and build and create things and work on teams immediately. You know, their acceleration's really fast because of it.
These are not case studies or just textbook experiments. This is legit opportunity to, one, make a difference, but also to really work with a company and prove prove the technology.
Yeah, so our CEO, Nate Rice, was somebody who was asked by Russ to come in and work with some of the students and take a look at their inventions, so to speak, because I don't know if that's the right terminology, okay? And look at it from a business point of view. And he, kind of a Shark Tank-esque type of a situation, but Russ will be able to explain more about that.
Exactly, yeah. So they we bring in business people and they get the pitch, you know, the real ideas. And, you know, the last three that I saw, two of them, I believe, could get funding. It was amazing how functional, and they had targeted a very specific problem. We were able to use the technology at the school to really solve it.
And our CEO is sitting there saying, what? I mean, who are these kids and how do I access this? He says, you know, businesses don't know what they don't know. So you're sitting here trying to solve these problems for your business. And here's this student with this great piece of technology that can easily solve it. Whereas you might have hired, you know, a whole team of people to try to come up with a solution. But to be able to have access to that kind of information and that kind of talent and creativity is great. And then from the student's point of view, their ability to come and talk to Nate at any point and say, hey, what do you think about this? You know, he would be very open to speaking. I know in mentoring some of these students and helping them figure out what it's going to take to not just have an idea and create an idea, but turn that idea into a business. Because as UAT knows and what they teach, that those are two totally different things.
Right. So what's nice about Nate, he also is actually teaching for the school now because he was so inspired, and that is representative of the entire faculty. They actually come more from a professional background, and so they share all their ideas, and they can still function and do their work because I know he said he was in Asia, and he was phoning in his classroom because we can do the classwork online. It's recorded. You can follow it up with your mobile either anyway. So you don't miss class, neither do the professors.
Yeah. And it turns out a lot of his students were from out of state. And so he would just sit there on his, you know, computer and record his session. And then it was available for students to watch whenever they wanted to. And I almost think that he might have gotten more out of it than some of the students because, you know, you start to hear what you're teaching and realize, wow, I'm not even doing that. I need to do that. And so he kind of used himself as a real world example as, you know, we're trying to raise our Series A funding. So, and the class was on raising money. So
now the course, what they're talking about is what's called SyncFlex on campus. And what we do with our courses is we're moving away from the concept of on ground and online. And instead of going to this idea of, no, all courses are going to be taught in a way that you can attend class by class, present with your faculty real time, or distance through a stream, or you can take part fully in it later on through the recordings and things like that, because that's really how we're beginning to learn and work together anyway. And so more and more of our students now, when they take a course, it's just they sign up for the course and they can choose, you know, like today I might want to be with you and just be in the room with you because that just works for me. But mm-hmm. if I look up and it's like, you know what, I got a project going, or I'm someplace else, or I'm heads down on something for another class, I'll just hop in and stream it later. And it all works, which I think this is really how learning is going
to
go.
It should have gone that way a long time ago. Very agile. It has to be very fluid, mm-hmm. right? That's how our up-and-comers are. They're mm-hmm. very fluid in the way that they move and interact and learn. We have to make sure we're keeping pace with them. Yeah. What does a day look like in Perimeter 83? Can you kind of lay that out for us? What does it look like for these folks who are fortunate enough to be in the workspace?
It's really dynamic. I mean, it's open 24/7. So, you know, companies can come in early, get a start. You've got everything on campus, so full cafeteria, full meals, access to our meeting rooms, our training rooms, and again, access to the technology to really build what you're trying to do. One of the things we offer is called Jam, and it lets the company come in on Friday, stay until Sunday, stay in an actual dorm, get a $50 meal card, and bang out your product over the weekend.
I remember you sharing that when I took the tour. If you weren't going to mention that, I was going to say, but it's called, so it's got a name now, because yep. I don't think it did before, that
yep.
Jam.
Yep.
So you can get your team together and rent some space in the dorm and just crank it out.
Exactly.
And not even have to leave because yep. and by the way, the cafeteria is amazing.
Oh, yeah. And then food service goes till 3 a.m.
Oh, I mean, do remember you saying
that. I didn't know that.
Well.
No, it's...
No, I do. That's great.
Yeah, we've launched. What we discovered a little while ago is that, you know, we watched our food and in the morning, we serve only about 35 breakfasts, and most of those are to staff.
Yep.
What we noticed was that students were kind of hovering and circling around late at night. And so we said, well, how about if we just go ahead and open up and we'll switch over to pizza, wings, and fresh ramen until 3 a.m.
I'll see you at 3 a.m.
and it's, yeah, it's a huge – because, again, like if you're working in tech startup space, either as a student or as a startup, you get going on something and you look yep. up and you realize it's 1 a.m. and you mm-hmm. you want to eat something more than what happens to be in the drawer that you can go it on. You
know. I've seen people in pajamas.
Yeah,
I was envisioning that. Yeah. Absolutely. The messy hair and the, you know, the focused look and eyes glazed over, not getting out of the zone. Dave, how long have you been the provost with UAT?
I've been with the university over 30 years.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
one. Yeah, it's my background was in computer science, and I was doing graphics programming back when it was, you know, no one knew what it was. And I had an opportunity when the schools first started. The founder was asking the question, say, I want to start a school. And since I get the opportunity, it's Arizona, which is a great state to start new enterprises. I want to build a college about this thing that's going to be computers. And he just started having conversations with him about it. And he was like, well, you know, what would be important? I said, well, there's two things. One would be you get your hands in tech from the moment you're there. And everybody has your hands in tech. It's not something you do as a capstone. You're just always there. But then also you spend as much time with how teaching happens as you do with the tech. It's really easy in engineering in areas to be focused so on the topic that learning just kind of falls a little bit by the wayside. And so from the very beginning, what we got fascinated with was how can you build a learning model, a methodology that is, you know, very focused on how do you build thinkers and creators and how do you work that into every single class? And once I got into that, I was doing development and software. If you've ever used a pair of 3D glasses, I was one of the original software developers and writers for the code to make 3D in all those kind of helmets, which was really a cool thing to do. But ultimately, people are more interesting. And I got involved in the teaching thing, so I just stayed and started working on this model and building it out and defining, you know, what's going on with that. And so, I've been there through all of it.
I love it. And the theme I keep hearing each of you share is this consistency that when there's a need, that's when you rise to the occasion and you find a way to fix that. And so even just this methodology around teaching, or even just the food services,
right.
Like, hey, these kids tend to hover, you know, around midnight and they need a break and they're hungry. That's how I think historically we've worked in universities all across the country.
Right.
Let's feed them. Let's open. I mean, everything that you've done has been listening to really what the need is there and then making sure that there's a fit for it and upticking it.
I think that's right. Cause you've got to be agile with technology because technology is agile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you'd asked me 10 years ago that startup would be an incredibly important thing to be attached to technology, it wouldn't have been on my radar. But now it's completely obvious. And so we've been moving over the last 5-6 years to a place where every single student builds something and every single student takes a course in how to launch a startup. And it has become kind of this obvious piece of if you're going to have technology ideas, really great ideas, make it and be successful, you've got to teach the engineers what that looks like and what that feels like. Otherwise, you know, you find all these engineers have these cool ideas that just die in their basement. And so.
And how much of that is communication to the leadership skill set, right? Stephanie's whispering all of it.
Yes.
And I know, Russ, and again, we've had this conversation, which is so important because I think a lot of these students who tend to be in their head so mm-hmm. much, right, and so such creative thinkers and analytical, oftentimes they're not necessarily easiest to communicate with.
Right.
So how are you helping them at UAT and even in the space with Perimeter 83, helping these students to become more rounder, you know, better versions of themselves so they can easily articulate, unlike myself right now.
You're doing great, Karen.
One of the things we do is, we just finished up this weekend. We have every single month, there are these jam events and we've really latched onto that movement. And if you've ever been to a jam, there are just incredible concepts where it doesn't matter the topic. It could be programming, it could be games, it could be making a movie, whatever. The students come together on a Friday and they are given an assignment to build something that can only be done that weekend. They build like crazy, but then the important, they don't sleep, you know, they just, you know,
sure.
And then Sunday, they all come together and they have to stand up in the theater and talk about what they built. And they've got to talk about it in terms of the successes and the failures and what they're proud of. And then the audience has an equal responsibility to learn how to talk about, I liked this, have you thought about, you know, doing it better this way? And so to foster that, we have all our students expected to do that on a regular basis. But the very first course that every student takes is this course it's a thinking strategies course, but it's taught by Professor Eskew, who works at Orbital, and he's literally a rocket scientist. And he kind of heads our space launch programs and things like that. But he, on the very first day that the students are here, he has them go through this exercise. How do you build and then talk about it, and how do you respond in a way that's helpful, constructive, and then it just becomes part of the curriculum. I mean, our students, they struggle with it like everybody does, and they think they're unique. We say, no, everybody has a hard time mm-hmm. speaking. But if you practice it, you get over it. And let's just work on it. And so there's a rare course in our campus that doesn't involve students standing in front of their peers and talking about what they've done.
And I like that you can sit in on these events. So I've sat in on many, and anybody in the mm-hmm. community in the theater when they're pitching, and you get to, you know, you can raise your hand, ask questions. Maybe nobody even knows why you're there. That's part of when I introduce the clients. I say, like, we had a client that's a robotics, it's called Robot Factory, and they're actually working on their own robotic project. But on the side, they're also doing a STEM camp that's going to help high school students and adults and work their way into robotics, but really learning deep diving, not the basics. But what I said to them was, they were up in Scottsdale, and I said, well, how's it going up there? I mean, are you meeting people? And they were like, well, not really. So they came down here, and I said, you know, every day there's an event down in that theater. Like, go to Eventbrite, take a look. I mean, I stepped in on the virtual reality conference of people who are nationally there. Now I'm connected to all these people that love the university, want to know more about Perimeter.
And it's really important, too, as we're customizing training for tech companies, the number one thing that we are asked about is soft skills.
I
almost
believe
every single company that they need assistance further developing their own skills. So the more that we can develop these students before they get there, the more productive they're going to be.
And to Dave's point, each class then builds this piece of it in there so that there's that feedback loop, that presentation, that conversation. So really, the whole package, they're walking out with everything.
Right. And that's one thing that's so much fun when I at commencement ceremony and you see the families, you know, since they're mostly out of state, and they come in and they just sort of see the trajectory from where a student was when they showed up. And they're exactly like your classic freshman engineering student. And they leave and the students are confident, they're articulate. They've built several things. The great majority of them, you know, they're on a track or already placed in a job, and you just see what a complete package it is. It's really, really cool.
Well, it must be if you've been there for 30
years.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, and if we're very, very lucky with reaching out to the community like this, we hope to keep the students that are in Arizona from leaving and staying here and creating a more robust environment that will grow our economy in that sector.
Yeah, which I think, again, go ahead, Stephanie.
I was going to say, in order to do that, I mean, what it's going to take is what we believe is a company who is going to have that moonshot that's going to be large mm-hmm. and big and solve not just a community problem, but a global problem. We need a big win here in Arizona. So we want to put Arizona on the map. We see our company as, you know, one that has the potential to do that because it is a global problem that is going to require a global solution. But it's all going to start at the community level. And to partner with UAT and to be able to have that sort of community aspect. Russ and I were talking earlier today about the ways that they can help us, not just by providing, you know, students and access to the students, but also they have access to so much information as far as, you know, applying for grants and what did you say? Free money. I was like, I want free money. Who doesn't like free money, right? So I said, okay, so go walk me through some of the stuff that I might not be familiar with. And he said, great, yeah, we'll put you on and I'll start to tell you about some of these opportunities for you. So to have that sort of a partnership is really, really big as well. But putting Arizona on the map in order to, you know, be that sort of solution that we can hire these students and become that tech state that Governor Ducey really wants, it's going to take a really, really big win. And then whoever wins, reinvesting in the community. And we see that then these technology companies are just going to be popping up all over the place. And I think UIT is going to be putting out a lot of business owners here locally.
Well, and you talk about that and building our workforce. One of the things that we need to do beyond just the high school students going to college is finding ways to up the skills of people who already finished college. And one of the things that Perimeter does and the university, you know, both, is that if you are somebody who's finished your degree, and let's say, you know, you studied history or business or something like that, and you realize, wait, I would like to do software development. I'd like to do cyber. We have this very inventive, accredited, you know, model for doing rapid skill build up for learning those things. So if you decide you're done doing the broadcast thing and you say, I'm going to do cyber, we can get you through a program through Perimeter that will get you in 4-month blocks skill ready to be in cyber within a year. And actually, you'll be functional in 4 months, more functional 4 months after that, and even more after that. And so now we're tapping into a workforce that may just want to get into this thing we read in the paper every day of, wow, we can't possibly keep up with the cyber workforce. There was a stat that came out just a couple months ago that said the U.S. at this moment has a shortfall of cyber professionals in the neighborhood of 500,000 people. We have the second largest national deficit of cyber workforce in the world. Only country that's bigger is China.
Wow.
And you won't fill that by just college students. It's going to take having a way to have other folks say, you know what, I think this is actually interesting. I wish I made this decision when I was 19, but here's how we can get started. And Perimeter does that, and the university does that as well. And it goes back and forth. You can choose to do it either as a, I'm going to spend 4 months to get some basic skills, learn how to do mobile app development, and just be done with it. Or you could go through and do it as part of a graduate degree. And in both those cases, the funding has been solved. And so either way, you know, it's very easy to go ahead and pay for it and do it no matter what your situation is. And that way, a year from now, you could be in that workforce easily.
I think that's another important aspect of this relationship between Perimeter 83 and UAT is that when we are working in larger companies, the Insights, the Intels, the GoDaddies, wherever we are, big tech or little tech, everywhere in between, we're just focused on our business and what we have the task at hand. And so this opportunity provides networking, provides that there's no glass ceiling. I have an opportunity to learn and grow. And I don't know that we would always have that opportunity if, again, we just go to our place of employment and come home every day and not have this really rich environment to begin to think differently.
Well, and if you're a company, you know, you cultivate, you know, your people. That's like your most important asset. And especially in this hiring environment, trying to find folks who manage your culture and your values, who you trust, you've got those relationships with, that's very, very hard to do, let alone have these skill sets. And so, you know, the training that Perimeter has put together with our SingFlex model allows employers to say, look, I don't have to give up my employee. They don't have to stop being productive,
right,
but I can get them into this area that I can see I've got a shortfall in without losing them.
Yep.
You know, and that, and there's more stick with that. I mean, if you hire somebody off the street, they may or may not be with you in 12 months. If you've got somebody who's got a history with your company and you skill them up, they're likely to stay with you because you invested in them.
Carolyn, what brought you to Perimeter 83? You said it's been how long?
Since the fall.
Yeah. And so tell us a little bit about your background and what you love about having landed here now.
Well, it's interesting because I sort of came from the broadcast background when I was younger, and I moved into brand. And it was funny, as you go along the way in life, you pick up all these various sector skills, and you think, really none of them have anything to do with each other. And then I actually grew our own web development business with my husband. And along the way, we learned what it was like to walk into the room and to get the business and to produce a product that was superior to your competitors. And then along the way, I met Russ, and he was telling me what was going on, and I had no idea. Big secret. Walked in. I said, how do I not know about this? I've lived here forever.
How can we fix it? How we can change that, right?
And I've got kids in school, and what I love is, like, one of the first days I was at work, I met a child in a suit in the cafeteria. I asked him what he was doing there. There was a whole bunch of them for a tour. And he very eloquently explained to me the science officer program that is UAT helps to sponsor, and they come in. And I just said, wow, so this is the piece that our children and the children of the community need to have in order to stay here and grow and move on. And it's like UAT gives the stepping stone for all of those.
Brilliant. How about you, Russ? I know culture and company culture, but also massive growth has been a big part of your career.
Right.
What brought you to Perimeter 83?
I think it was just the combination of everything that was there. Initially, I was told, you know, there's going to be some co-work space. And I'm like, well, that's nice because, you know, that's everywhere. But really the opening up of everything that is there for the entrepreneurs to come, the ability to work with the professors, to work with the students, to be in real time and have access to all that is truly what sets it apart. Also, it's the engagement. When Carol and I are bringing companies on, most of them are in the middle of their technology commercialization plan. And so we're assisting with that, bringing in mentors, lunch and learns, and, you know, really giving them someone to bounce ideas off of, because when you're alone in the forest, you can't always see the trees.
It's funny because when I'm out and I'm networking and I'm at all these events like, you know, mixers and stuff, to say it in a short way, I say, well, we do tech therapy, and everybody laughs and knows what that means.
Right.
Because we'll sit down. It's like, what resources do you need? Like, I'll reach out. I know somebody. Russ knows somebody. So that's something we add to it, the personalization that's yes. more than just the desk.
And that's really good from our point of view, too, to be able to have those existing partnerships and relationships that they have and, you know, be able to walk in and say, hey, do you know anyone over in, you know, the city of Tempe that I can talk to? Yeah. How about the mayor? That sounds great. Yes. You know, and so I think to have that access to that information and that it's not asking a favor, that's why they're here. That's really, really priceless from our point of view as well.
It's still who you know, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, even though totally. We may be submitting applications online or feeling like we're many, many phases away from getting to know people, when we can network and we can make those connections, it just really ripens everything up.
Yeah, and with our solution, it's going to require a relationship with the utility companies, with the city governments, with police departments, media, I mean, you name it. I mean, we see this as really the community coming together to help us saturate the city with, we're talking about rolling out 500,000 batteries over the next 18 months, and that's going to require a lot of partnerships. Advertising is going to be the way that we're going to be able to, you know, help with subsidize the cost of that, and businesses being able to put their brand on these phone chargers is a way that we think we can do that as well. And we're looking for funding right now. And so that's something that they know very well, and was something that was very attractive to us to have a partner and taking a look at, you know, our pitch decks and what we're doing to go out as we go out to get that Series A funding is going to be really, really important. You know, we have the opportunity for not only just short-term investors, but also long-term investors. So short-term investors who want to see an immediate return on their money, we can provide that. And then also for the longer-term investors who really want to go with us all the way to the top and are looking for, you know, much bigger return on their money, we have an opportunity for both. And to have these guys in our corner as we do that is huge.
And, you know, we provide a lot of events. We do lunch and learns, we do coffee things, other events. And part of it is for the tenants and for the people in the community to come together and learn about different things. We just did one on video producing. A lot of people don't know how to, you know, get off the ground and get running on it. So we bring in some producers and they talk about what they've done. But, you know, funding, we need funding 101. We're actually going to do one and explain it to people. Those kind of topics are going to help educate just the community itself, not even taking a course.
And then you have the students, but then you also have the other businesses that are joining Perimeter 83 as well. And I just found out that an AI company is going to be joining our little section of the office.
Yeah.
So I thought, perfect. Well, that's great. You know, and so we're able to collaborate with each other and see what these other companies are working on and ways that we can collaborate together to move forward our initiatives.
And sometimes I'm out in the community and people will say there's certain degrees like, oh, gaming degree. Oh, they're going to be, you know, make video games. And I said, no, actually, you've got an entire generation coming up and they only understand gaming as a community and a socialization. You better get some gamification in your marketing, in your appeal to maybe work for them. And people start to think of it in different ways. And even augmented reality, a huge piece that's going to be a part of the future. I remember technologies coming up that you looked at and said, that's nothing. I don't know how I could use it. But we're out there explaining it and just kind of cross-pollinating it.
Yeah, gamification is something our CEO is really, really interested in adding to our app, because that's going to be something that will continue to drive those users to, you know, open our app and be reminded that we do have these chargers everywhere. And so to have, you know, those kinds of companies there and then access to those kinds of you know, the instruction and whatnot, it's big.
Do any of you have Apple Watches?
No.
And so I recently hopped onto the Apple Watch, and on that gamification thing, mm-hmm. the whole health thing, yeah. where every day yep. you've got those three rings,
yep.
and I find myself going, okay, I've got to go out and do this crazy thing to close my silly red ring, you know,
and
it's just the weirdest, like, and I have to pause and look back and go, wait, that actually means nothing. It just, you know, but we, there's some part of our brain that just, like, you put that in front of you and you're like, oh, please, I'll do that.
It's just something fun, right?
Yeah. Well, Dave, I had a student actually explain to me it's called progression. And he went into a big discussion about it with me through a lunch. And so I know a lot more about it now.
Yeah, so, yeah, there you go.
It works, right? Yeah. We've had several companies, wellness companies and technology app companies that have come in and talked about that culture that Stephanie's speaking around that really – this is our next generation. They're gamers. This is how they've interacted. This has been their social outlet. And so how do we build our environments and opportunities for them to learn and grow that already is comfortable for them?
Right.
It's what they know.
And you nailed it right there, because it's not just the gamification, but also the social aspect of it. So one of the things we would love to do is to be able to, because each one of these phone chargers is a unique independent element that we can track the life of it. So if you pick one up in Tempe and then you go over to Scottsdale and drop it off, and then someone comes in town from Scottsdale to drop, you know, to pick it up, and then they return it in Chicago, and then someone takes it on a business trip, and then it makes it around the world. And one of the things we really want to do is add stories to each one of these, mm-hmm. because as you then start to share them with each other, you're sharing them when people are having emergencies. So it's, oh my gosh, I was at the hospital and I needed to get a ride home and I didn't have a charged phone. And thank you so much. That's what this battery provided for me. And so there's
humanize it a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. And actually that's a real story. We were at the, my fiance's mother was at the hospital, and there was a kid that was asking to charge his cell phone. And the hospital said, listen, we don't have cables. We don't do that here. And he said, how am I supposed to get a ride home? I don't have anyone's phone. I've been here all day. My future mother-in-law said, well, I have a juice charger here. You can use it. And he said, oh, but I don't have any money. Like, I literally have nothing on me. And she goes, no, it's yours. Take it. And it's that sharing peer-to-peer. While we continue, the company continues to saturate the market. We think we can fill in the gap through peer-to-peer sharing.
So I love about that, mm-hmm. you know, that story is, you know, the tech got very human all of a sudden.
Right.
Yes. And that's something that I think is really, really, you know, interesting that's beginning to happen with our devices, is that, you know, they aren't just cables and circuits. It's like, no, this is part of our lives. And they do.
It is your life, right?
Yeah. And you've got stories with it, and there's images with it, and memories that start kicking in with it. Mm-hmm. And they're not awkward. They're just sort of seamless, and they're making us be human and having more fun and create more things and enjoy what we're doing.
And one of the things, and I saw the reaction even in this room as I was sharing that story, we just tapping into that people helping people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really, when we first thought about that, we thought, okay, well, yeah, that's a nice thing. But then we started telling people about it, and the reaction has been so strong where we really think that's going to be a really big driver in helping to develop this share peer-to-peer sharing.
I think it also relates to what the way our culture is around reviews and testimonies on mm-hmm. social media and that sort of thing. So you're really playing into that, right? That if this little juice app that I have, or not app, but this unit that I have.
Phone charger, yeah.
Right. It has a life and a story, and I'm familiar with it because I've seen the reviews or the testimonies, mm-hmm. then I'm more inclined to love on it and take care of it.
Well, good.
And want to add my own piece to that longevity of a story.
Because we don't want them ending up in the rivers like some of the scooters or the trash, you know, like you see around town. Mm-hmm. So to be able to have that care and concern for the product. Because we think that, you know, if you were helped by that phone charger, we think that you will realize how much value it has in helping somebody else. And so anyway, we'll see as we start to roll this out across the valley.
So how can we get a hold of Juice and learn more, both not only to be able to download the app and get a hold of one of the units, but also from an investor perspective? And somebody who might be curious about coming on board that way.
Yeah, so nate@juice.com if you're interested. And by the way, it's Juice with two U's. And everyone always asks why. And I say, because juice.com with one U was obviously taken already on the internet.
So juice.com.
So it's nate@juice.com would be for anyone who's interested in investment opportunities. And then just juice.com is our URL website. And it has a bunch of information on there. And then we're launching at the Phoenix Open. You can download the app. It's in both the Apple and Android Play Store. So it's ready to go. And specifically on the app right now will just be the locations where you can pick up the chargers at the Waste Management Phoenix Open. Mm-hmm. But as we continue to develop and grow, you're going to start to see us putting more spots on the map. And that's going to start immediately after this crazy event with 700,000 people.
In this little mini town, which I love. It was so perfect the way you laid that. And you're going to have immediate feedback. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the restaurants and the parties and the need to have my phone working. It really is a perfect way to put this out there.
Yeah, you spend all day out at the golf tournament and then you head over to the Bird's Nest for the rest of the night to go to the concert. It's a great use case for us. And when you think about it, every day essentially is about the same, right? Mm-hmm. So when you're looking at testing, to be able to test and validate and change up your business process and then test it again, we learn a whole lot during this week.
Yeah.
And then this year we get to partner with Uber, and we're going to be in that Uber line. And last year they saw 90,000 people go through the Uber line at the Phoenix Open. The average wait time was 20 to 90 minutes. And so we'll be able to pass out these phone chargers while everyone's waiting. And it's all courtesy of Palo Verde, who's sponsoring all of the free charging this year.
Fantastic.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
That's really excellent.
Yeah. Dr. Bowman, tell us how we can get a hold of UAT and kind of where that conversation starts for someone who might be interested to get a degree or come in for some sort of certification and advanced information.
Well, we're on all the social platforms. And so search for either UAT or University Advancing Technology. The website is uat.edu. If anybody wants to reach out to me, I'm dave@uat.edu, and I'm more than happy to answer. I answer all my own emails. And so those are some good starting spots. And you'll see some great videos of the projects our students do.
And we come in for a tour. Are there scheduled tours? We can look to the website for a scheduled tour.
If you go to the website, there's a spot where you can request a tour or just show up. I mean, it's, we're a 1,000-student school. It's the kind of thing you show up. It's that, it's a college, but it's also a family.
And I noticed that the receptionist staff, when I was there to meet Russ, were very accommodating and just, they could tell it was my first time. And they even asked, "Is this your first time here?" And I said, "Yes." And they just began to talk a little bit about it as if they were welcoming me into their home. So it was really a great way to be introduced to you guys.
Yeah, and if somebody comes, I mean, as you're talking to a student, ask about their projects. You'll be surprised. I remember.
Best part.
I had somebody talk to me recently. I challenged them. I said, just when you find a student, ask them the project. And they called me later and they said, so I was talking to a student and they did this crazy project where they were taking live video feed and they hooked up to AI and they were able to read the faces on this video feed and gather their emotions and turn it into into a dashboard where, you could say it's like, to what level of happy, sad or peeved everybody in that video was. And their target for it was everything from school security to just, customer service in restaurants and hotels, where it's like, kind of wonder how happy are your guests.
No more wondering.
Run that video and it would just put up a dashboard on somebody's desk saying, hey, right, just so you know, the audience downstairs is a little agitated.
Can you imagine? That's like reading a room on another level.
Completely.
Yeah.
Fascinating. And had you not encouraged them to just begin to ask and out of curiosity, How would they ever know that that kind of thing is in the works?
Well, that's the thing is like every student has to create one of these. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just the top tier, it's everybody. So it's just at any given moment, when you're near all these small businesses, that feeds these ideas of like, well, wait, I hadn't thought of this. Let's try and bring these technologies together and you just get those kind of stories. So it's worth it. So if you do it, let me know what they tell you.
Yes. Well, I plan on being there more frequently for sure. Okay. And so Perimeter 83, how do we get a hold of you? Where are you on the World Wide Web?
Perimeter83.com. Happy to give tours. Anyone that's interested to discuss training, but really come out and take a look. It's not your typical tour or your typical co-work space. It's something much, much different.
Yep. I will be out in the community. You will find me.
My mind is already racing with more connections for you guys.
Well, we've got startup week happening in a couple of weeks. So we'll definitely be present at all that.
We'll be broadcasting on Friday at the Gilbert location. I'll be a guest speaker talking about the connected conversation.
Okay.
So we'll have to talk a little bit more. In fact, if you haven't met Mike Jones out of Resound.
Yeah, Mike.
He's right over here. He's in this space with us as well. And lots of great connections for you. Is there anything, Russ or Carolyn, I haven't thought to ask about the space and the kinds of companies that you're looking to welcome on an ongoing basis?
There's probably, it's not just co-working. I think that's a really important piece to do. So you can be there every day. You can be there once in a while, but you can just have an affiliate membership and utilize all of the amenities that are inside the university.
So
that's why we call it Perimeter 83. It's everything under the perimeter.
I love it. So it's drop-in, it's a regular space, mm-hmm. It's the gamut.
Also even short-term rentals. We're finding a good number of local tech companies or any company, especially tech. They've got the need for a meeting space for a few hours or a half day. They would rather be on a campus surrounded by tech with the food service and all the ideas and all the energy that you really feel when you hit the campus. They'd rather that than just a generic rental space. What I hear from people who've done that is they leave and they just, all their staff are completely energized by it.
Wow, this has been so much fun. I'm amazed with everything that you guys are up to and certainly appreciative of your time to come share your story on Phoenix Business Radio. And you know you're welcome back.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Good being here.
You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, broadcasting live from within the Max 6 and Conscious Capitalism Arizona studio. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.